Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to this demonstration of the iPod Touch from Apple. Many of you who have listened to my Macintosh podcasts have asked if I would ever do a show on the iPhone or iPod Touch in the same style, because you found the Macintosh tutorials and podcasts so useful, and thank you so much for the compliments on that. Well, I had decided that if I ever did get an iPod Touch or an iPhone, that yes, I would try to do that. And so that's what this is. This is the first of, I don't know how many I'll end up doing on this series. Who knows? I mean, the Macintosh one I expected, I had planned on only doing one or two. I didn't know how much demand there'd be for it. And so far I've actually done 11. So, that's great, and I hope that people continue to find those useful, and I hope that that you find this podcast useful. You can apply this information basically to the iPod Touch or the iPhone if you're using either one. The only difference, of course, is the iPhone has the phone application and a messaging application, whereas the iPod Touch doesn't have that. But the way you use it, that all applies. That's all the same. So what I'm going to try to do is make this a cross between a demonstration for those who may want to know about the accessibility features, who may not be familiar with it, and also a tutorial, maybe for someone who has an iPod Touch or an iPhone, to help get you started. So I'm going to try to combine both of those into one, and I guess only time will tell if I succeed or not. And of course, your feedback will determine that as well. So before we actually get into working with the iPod Touch, I do want to kind of give you a little overview and a couple of preliminary comments. This really is a first in a lot of ways, what Apple has done. What they have done with the newest iPod Touch and iPhone is, again, just like on the Macintosh, they have built a screen reader into the device. So if you get the iPod Touch third generation, the 32 or the 64 gigabyte models, I think there's also an 8 gigabyte model. That one does not have the screen reader, probably because it's a slower processor and it didn't have enough processing power to run that. But if you get the iPod third generation, 32 or 64 gigabytes, you will have the VoiceOver screen reader built in. And also, if you get the iPhone 3GS, it must be the 3GS, not the 3G, but the 3GS, which is the newest model, third generation also, it will also have the VoiceOver screen reader. And you can enable it in a couple of ways. You can have someone sighted do it for you, but that's not necessary because you can enable it in iTunes also, and I'm going to show you how to do that, at least on the Macintosh. I don't have iTunes on Windows, and I probably am not going to install it there just because there's no reason to, really. It works great on the Mac, and works really well. So, but it should be fairly similar. And then once it's enabled, you can actually set a setting on the iPod or iPhone that you can press the home key three times to enable or disable VoiceOver, and I will show you how to do that as we go along also. So the really unique thing about this is not only has Apple built accessibility into another device, but they did something that a lot of people said could not be done. Well, it's all a touchscreen. I mean, there's no – the only buttons on this are the button to lock the screen, the home button, and your volume up and down buttons. That's it. Everything else, the keyboard, the – you know, selecting items, it's all done by the touchscreen. And a lot of people thought, well, how would you ever be able to make that fully accessible? Where would you start from? You know, I mean, what's the relationship? But Apple has done that. And they've done a good job of it. It really works well. And as far as I'm concerned now, this leaves the other companies that make touchscreen phones and devices without excuse. They can no longer say, well, how are we going to do that? We don't know if we can do that. No, you can do it. Apple has proven that, and these other companies need to get on the bandwagon and develop universal accessibility for their products as well. There's no excuse for them not to. So, as far as how the iPod and iPhone work, and the comments I'm about to make here relate to the devices themselves. They have nothing to do with the accessibility. There are a couple of things that I do wish were different on them. Certainly, I don't want to deter you from getting them. They're great devices. With regard to the iPod, well, and the iPhone too, really, because the iPod portion of it works the same way, I do wish that they supported mass storage. Mass storage is when you plug a device into a computer and it just shows up as a drive and you can just copy your music files over and that type of thing. The iPods and the iPhone don't support that. You have to go through iTunes in order to transfer the music to the device. You have to put it in your iTunes library and then sync it, which, this is just my opinion, I find that a little cumbersome. I mean, with my Victor Stream and with my cell phones, I can just connect it to a computer, copy the files, and I'm off and running. And I really wish that's something that, you know, would be incorporated into the iPod and iPhone also. And that's one reason probably I may not use my iPod Touch primarily for music. Actually, I probably won't. That's not the main reason I got it. The reasons I got it were for the applications and just to support Apple's, you know, universal accessibility. But there are a lot of applications, third-party applications, that you can run also. And I'm going to show you that. And actually, I'm going to show you how you can download an application. Also, we're going to hopefully cover that also. The other thing I wish Apple would change is, and this relates to the iPhone itself, is where you can only get it from one carrier. In this country, at least, the United States, that's very common, and I'm not a huge fan of that. In some ways, I think it's kind of a monopoly. Here, if you want the iPhone at a decent price, you have to go through AT&T. That's the only way to get it. Now, you can buy an unlocked iPhone, but they cost around $1,000. And that's a bit much to pay for a phone, I think. So hopefully Apple eventually will sell these to where you can use them with any GSM provider. In the U.S., it would be, you know, AT&T and T-Mobile. And that's the way I think it should be. I don't think you should be forced to go with a certain carrier to get a certain phone. That's a form of monopolizing, in my opinion. I think you should be able to go in, buy whatever phone you want, and use it with the carrier you want. That's my view on that. But again, that's just my opinion. Okay. So, that's kind of what I wanted to cover as far as the preliminary comments. Let me kind of describe the iPod Touch for you here. And the iPhone, again, is very similar, I believe. I've only seen one briefly, but it should follow fairly closely to this description. If you already have one, I'll tell you how you'll probably want to hold this to get familiar with it. If you don't have one, that's okay. It'll just give you an idea of how this works. What you'll want to do, you'll notice that once you take it out of the package, it's a rectangular device, about the size of a cell phone. It's not really bigger or smaller than other, you know, players. And you'll notice the top is largely covered by the touchscreen. And on the side are the two volume controls, up and down. You'll want to place those on the left side. So turn the iPod Touch or iPhone so those buttons are on the left side. And then you'll notice at the bottom of the touchscreen, there's a round button. That's the home button. What that does is, wherever you're at, it takes you back to the home screen. The home screen on these devices, you can kind of think of as the desktop, if that will help you. It's the starting point. Also on the bottom, below the home button, you'll notice, on the bottom edge, you'll notice a rectangular port. That is the connector for the USB device, and it's proprietary, which, that's another thing I hope Apple changes, and I think they are going to, actually. Really, they should move to a mini or a micro USB, something more standard, so you don't have to use these special cables to connect it. But for now, it does use a proprietary dock connector, And that's what you'll find on the bottom edge. And then if you move a little bit to the right, you'll see another kind of hole there. That is the place for the headphones. You can plug a set of headphones into that, and the iPod Touch does come with a set that also has a built-in microphone. That is one difference between the iPod Touch and the iPhone. The iPod Touch does not have a built-in microphone, which I kind of wish it did. It would make things easier, but that's kind of the way it ended up. So you will need to plug in an external microphone to that connector, and it's also a place for headphones, the round connector on the far right of the bottom edge. Okay, on the right, or on the left, I'm sorry, on the left of the iPod Touch, if you're holding it in the position that I mentioned again, is the volume keys. And then on the top edge on the left is another button. And this one has a couple of useful purposes. What this does is if you press it briefly, it locks the screen. And you're gonna definitely want to do that when you're not going to be using it for a while if you want to keep the iPod turned on, because if you're carrying it in your pocket, you don't want the screen, you know, activating and, you know, doing all kinds of things. So pressing that briefly will lock your screen. And holding that button serves as the power button. So when the iPod is turned off, pressing that and holding it for a couple of seconds will turn on your iPod Touch or iPhone. And when you want to power it down, you hold the button for a few seconds again, and then you'll have to select the power off option, and I will show you how to do that. So that's what the iPod Touch looks like, and again, I think the iPhone is fairly similar to that. And by the way, whenever your USB cable is connected to a computer, it will also charge the iPod Touch also. So that having been said, let's go ahead and turn on the iPod Touch. Now, I've already enabled the voiceover screen reader on this, but of course, if you're getting one for the first time, it won't talk yet. It will it'll power up, but it won't say anything, and you'll have to enable voiceover in iTunes. And I will show you how to do that in just a moment. So what I'm going to do is hold the lock/power button for a couple of seconds. And I'm doing that now. And the screen has lit up, and it's in the process of powering up. And if you can't see the screen at all, that's all right. If you don't have any light perception or anything, that's okay. Just hold that button for about 2 or 3 seconds, and your iPod or iPhone should come to life. 9:09. Okay. It's powered up, and it says the time, 9:09. Unless the battery, of course, is totally dead, then it may not power up. And in that case, just go ahead and connect it to your computer, and you'll be able to tell right away whether the computer has recognized it, especially if you go into iTunes. You'll be able to tell that. So when the iPod Touch is first turned on, the screen is locked, and it just said screen locked. So you will have to unlock it, and I will show you how to do that. But I do want to show you how to enable VoiceOver in iTunes first, because that's definitely something you'll want to do to get started. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and connect the iPod Touch to my Macintosh. I'm sitting on the desktop of my Mac. And by the way, too, I realize maybe some of you have listened to at least some of my Macintosh tutorials, and some of you haven't, and that's all right either way. I will be making some references to a little comparison between maybe a function on the iPod and the voiceover on the iPod and the voiceover on the Macintosh to help users who may have heard some of those podcasts. If you haven't listened to those, that's all right. You won't be missing anything. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to set down my Victor Stream first so I can do this with both hands. And what I'm going to do, my USB cable for the iPod is already plugged into my Mac. I'm going to go ahead and connect that to the iPod Touch. Just plug it right into the connector on the bottom. Go ahead and plug that in here. It only goes in one way,
So if it doesn't want to fit, go ahead and just turn it around, and it should go in easily. Yeah, I had to turn mine around, okay, and just
9/11.
Push it in, and it kind of makes a little tone there, indicating that it's connected. Okay, so let's go ahead and open up iTunes. Again, I'm sitting on the desktop, and I have iTunes in my dock, which, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Macintosh, the dock is kind of a cross between the Windows taskbar and, yeah, okay, the iPod's saying screen locked, okay. The dock is a cross between the Windows taskbar and the quick launch, because you can put icons down there and open applications without having to actually go into your applications folder. Of course, in Windows 7 now, you can do that also. Okay, so what I'm going to do is press Control F3. That's the Mac keyboard shortcut to move down to the dock.
Mac dock.
Okay, and I'm going to type IT.
iTunes, 5 of 25.
Okay, there's iTunes. Press Enter to open that.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, iTunes, window, iTunes. Sources, table, one row selected, column, one of one, music, library, playlist, has keyboard focus.
Okay, so what we're in now is the sources table. What we need to do is get down to the iPod now. Mine is called Mike Origo's iPod. So I think if I press M in this, I'm in a table, which is kind of like, you know, a list of items. Let's press M and see what we get.
Mike Origo's iPod, device, expanded.
There we go. Okay, now I'm going to use the voiceover navigation on the Mac. I've got the numpad commander enabled, so keys 4 and 6 move left and right and through the different items, and then keypad 5 actually will activate the item that we're sitting on. So I'm just going to press numpad 6 here.
Vertical splitter.
Move to the right.
iPod settings, scroll area.
Okay, iPod settings, scroll area. That's what we want. So what we want to do here is we want to interact with that. And on the Macintosh, interacting means focus in on this item and let's, you know, view its content. So I'm going to interact with this scroll area.
Interact with iPod settings, scroll area, 31 items, summary. Selected radio button, 1 of 8.
Okay, these are some radio buttons where you can set what is automatically synced when you connect your iPod and that type of thing. To enable voiceover, the summary is what you need to be on, and that's the default, at least on the Mac. Now, again, I haven't used the iTunes in Windows, but I'm assuming this is fairly similar. So we're going to just move through these items.
Applications, radio button, 2 of 8.
Okay, that's for syncing up your applications. If you download, you can download applications either on the iPod itself, which I think in some ways is easier, or you can download it on your computer and then have iTunes actually install it on your iPod. And I may demonstrate that in a later podcast. On this one, I plan to just download an application on the using the iPod itself. By the way, for internet connectivity, with the iPod Touch, you do need access to a Wi-Fi network. With the iPhone, of course, you can use Wi-Fi or the cell network.
Music, radio button, 3 of 8.
Okay, that one's for syncing your music.
Movies, radio button, 4 of 8.
Yeah, that's movies. These are pretty self-explanatory.
TV shows, radio, iTunes U, radio button, 6 of 8. Photos, radio button, info, radio button, 8 of 8.
Info, I think, will tell you what... Well, let's see what info does. I'm not even sure.
Press info, radio button, 8 of 8. Mobile Me section. You can use Mobile Me to sync your email, calendars, contacts, and bookmarks over the air with your iPod. Learn more button, contacts section.
Okay, so it's like for syncing contacts and that type of thing. Okay. Let's go back up to the summary radio button and select that.
Look, if I can at summary radio, the press summary radio button, 1 of 8.
And let's just go ahead and read what we've got here then after we get past the 8 radio buttons.
At iTunes, photos, info, iPod, section, name, Mike Origo's iPod, capacity, 29.28 gigabytes.
Yeah, I got the 32 gig version.
Software version, 3.1.2, serial number. 1903 version section.
And that's the serial number. The version, this is also where you would check for updates for your iPod. This is where you would update that.
Your iPod software is up to date. iTunes will automatically check for an update again on 10/25/09. Check for update button.
If you want to manually check for updates, just select that button.
If you are experiencing problems with your iPod, you can restore its original settings by clicking Restore. Restore button.
And that would do like a reset on it if you're having problems.
Options section.
Okay, options. This is, I think, where we need to... I think this is where I did this at.
Open iTunes when this iPod is attached. Uncheck checkbox.
And you can have it automatically open iTunes. I disabled that. I don't like my computer opening stuff just automatically. You know, it's like a, you know, it's like when I'm ready for it to open, I'll open it.
Synced only checked songs and videos. Dimmed uncheck check manually manage music and videos. Check checkbox.
I got it set to manually manage that.
Encrypt iPod backup. Uncheck checkbox.
That's for encryption if you want to encrypt your backup when you back it up.
Change password. Dimmed button. Configure universal access button.
That's where we need to go. Configure universal access. So I'm going to go ahead and select that.
Press dialog. Universal access.
All right, now let's take a look at this window. What you're going to have here.
Seeing. Voiceover. Selected radio button.
That's what you want to select. Now, if you've got a new iPod Touch or iPhone, that would not be selected. And you'd want to select that radio button for voiceover. And then move down to...
Zoom, neither, use white on black display, uncheck speak auto text, uncheck hearing, use mono audio, uncheck checkbox, cancel, OK, default button.
You want to select the OK button there, and then what it will do is it'll come up and tell you that enabling voiceover will change how the gestures work. And it'll ask if you want to continue, and you'd say yes, and after that, your iPod Touch or iPhone will begin to speak. So, that is... That's how you can enable voiceover totally without sighted help. And like I say, there's a way to disable and enable that on the iPod Touch or iPhone itself once you have it enabled for the first time in iTunes. And I will show you how to do that. Okay, let's go ahead and cancel out of here and exit out of iTunes. That's all I'm going to do on this one as far as iTunes goes. And let's start to get into the real fun of the show, which is actually how to use a device that's completely a touchscreen. This is going to be really cool. I think you're going to enjoy this. Let's go ahead and select cancel out of here because I've already got VoiceOver enabled.
Okay, cancel, prep, configure, universal.
And I'm just going to do Command Q to quit out of iTunes.
Quit iTunes, Finder, Desktop.
All right.
Touch HD, volume.
And I'm going to go ahead and unplug the iPod from the Mac.
9:19.
And it says the time once it's unplugged. All right. So, VoiceOver is enabled, and I'm sitting, of course, on my home screen. My screen is locked. And let's go ahead and get into how this works. Okay. Before we actually get into actually doing some of the applications, let me kind of tell you how this works as far as VoiceOver on this touchscreen works. What it does is any part of the screen that you touch, it will speak the item that you're touching. Now, normally, for a sighted person, if they touch an item, it automatically activates it. So if they touch, like Safari, which is the web browser, it automatically activates. Well, of course, for a blind person, you would not want what you touch to just automatically activate right away. That would not even really be productive. For a sighted person, of course, it's assumed you can see it, which of course they can, and what you touch then is what you want. Well, the way this works is whatever you touch on the screen is spoken and basically selected. It moves, and again, I'm going to use a little bit of crossover with the Macintosh here a little bit, but what's called the VoiceOver cursor, which is your reading cursor, it moves the VoiceOver cursor to that item on the screen that you're touching. And then if you actually want to open that item, you double tap, and you can double tap anywhere on the screen. You don't have to leave your finger where it was on the item and double tap that one place. You can double tap on this anywhere on the screen, and that is the equivalent of the VoiceOver command to activate the item on the Macintosh. It
selects it or activates it, basically. So that's how you would, you know, click a button or open an application, that type of thing. Now, what if you don't really know where something is on the screen, but you just want to move through each item at a time? Well, you can do that too. What you can do with the touchscreen is flick left or right. Now, flicking, kind of imagine maybe you've got like a little piece of dirt or something on the screen and you're trying to get it off of there. So you just kind of flick, you know, put your finger on the screen and just flick it really fast to the right or left. That, the right goes to the next item on the screen, wherever it happens to be, and flicking left goes to the previous item on the screen. Now, so that's how you can actually move your voiceover cursor around the screen, two ways. You can, again, flick right or left to go to the next or previous item, and you can then touch somewhere on the screen, and it will move the voiceover cursor to that spot and read the items. So, and you can use these interchangeably. So, for example, let's say you know that what you want to get to is generally on the bottom of the screen, but you don't know exactly where. Well, you can touch the bottom of the screen to get your voiceover cursor down, you know, to the bottom, and then from there you can just flick right or left, you know, on the screen itself, and it will move to the next or previous item from that spot. And again, you don't have to flick left and right on the actual bottom of the screen. You can do that any place. So the flicking and the double tapping can be done from, you know, any point on the screen. So those are the three, well, four actually. Those are the four things you really need to know to get started. There are other gestures that you can use with VoiceOver, which are good to know, but if you, just to get started, what you need to know is touch anywhere on the screen to read the item, you know, and VoiceOver will read the item that you're touching. Or you can flick right or flick left to move the VoiceOver cursor to the next or previous item on the screen, and then double tap with one finger on the screen to open or activate the last item that was spoken. So with those, knowing those gestures should allow you to get started and use, you know, the iPod Touch or iPhone, whether you're in a store, you know, checking it out, or, you know, whether you've actually bought one. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is unlock the screen here. And to do that, what we want to do is press the home button. That's the button on the very, you know, bottom of the, right below the touch screen. So I'm going to press that, and then what happens is there's an unlock button on the bottom of the screen right above the home button. And when you touch that, it'll say, you know, unlock button, and then it'll give you a hint, double tap to unlock. So then you just double tap anywhere on the screen to activate that button. So that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to go ahead and press the home button.
9:24.
Okay, and it says the time. Now I'm going to touch the bottom of the screen right above the home button.
Unlock button.
Hopefully you can hear that.
Double tap to unlock.
Hopefully you can hear that speech. Okay. It says double tap to unlock, so I'm going to double tap on the screen.
Unlock. Mail. Double tap to open.
Okay, and it says unlock, and now the screen is unlocked, and mail is the first item. So if I just touch, you know, some places on the screen here, I'll do that now for you so you can kind of see how that works.
OOTunes.
That's not an application that comes with it. That's an application I've purchased, and I'll show you how that works here in a bit. But I'll just touch some other places on the screen.
Clock.
Clock.
Stocks.
Stocks.
Calculator.
Calculator.
Double tap to open.
So as you can see, you can just touch anywhere on the screen, and it will speak with the item that your hand touches. Now, what if we want to just move, you know, left and right through these items on the screen? Well, we can do that. Calculator is kind of in the middle. I'll go ahead and flick to the left, and we'll move back through the items.
Clock. Notes. Voice memos. Weather. Maps. Stocks. YouTube. Contacts. Photos. Calendar. Mail.
And you'll hear a sound when you can't go to the left any farther. So we are on the left now, the very left item, and it will move to the right and then to the next row, and you know, it'll just move sequentially. And you know, so that's kind of how that works. All right, let's go ahead and open something. What I will show you is some of the settings on the iPod. Before I do that, let me actually give you a couple other gestures that you might want to know. Flicking right and flicking left, of course, moves you to the next and previous item. Now, if you flick up or down with one finger, then what that will do is it will, depending on how the rotor setting is set, which I'll show you that in a minute also, but you can actually read the item either a character at a time or a word at a time. So, like we're sitting on mail, if I flick down, and it says capital M-A-I-L, so it just reads the item, a character at a time in this case. If you want to change the rotor for what it reads when you go up or down, then what you want to do is use two fingers, probably your thumb and your index finger, and pretend like you're turning a knob. Like let's say you have like a volume control or something like that. Put your thumb and index finger on the screen and pretend like you're turning a knob, and turn the virtual knob to the right. So I'll do that now.
Characters.
So then it'll move character by character with the flick up and flick down. If we turn to the right again.
Words.
And that's really all we can do. Words and characters are our only choices. Now, that varies depending on what application you're in. Like in Safari, the web browser, you can choose to move by headers and links and that type of thing, and I will show you that. The other thing I want to show you before we open the settings is how do you find out what the battery level is? That's certainly important. Here is where sometimes, again, kind of a combination of touching a spot on the screen and flicking right or left comes in handy. The status bar items are at the top of the screen, and I've got a phone call, just a moment. All right, we're back on the recording there. Need to take that that phone call. Okay, so to get the battery level, and my screen ended up locking again, so let me go ahead and unlock that.
9:30. Not unlock. Button unlock. Mail.
Okay. The status bar items are at the top of the screen. Now, if you have the iPod Touch, you're going to have probably your Wi-Fi signal if you're connected to a Wi-Fi network, and you're also going to have the time, which is automatically set when you connect it to your computer, so you shouldn't have to worry about that, and the battery level. If you have the iPhone, you're also going to have your signal strength for your carrier and that type of thing. So what you can do is just touch the very top edge of the screen. And I'll go ahead and do that now.
9:31 a.m.
Okay, so we touched the time, and it said that. Now, the battery level is right to the right of that. So we're sitting on the time now. That's where the voiceover cursor is at. If we just flick once to the right.
100% battery power, status bar item.
100% battery power, a status bar item. And that's the last status bar item. If we flick back to the left.
9:31 a.m., status 100% Wi-Fi signal.
And it says 100% Wi-Fi signal, which it should be because my router is in the other room, but it's fairly close. So so that's how you can get that. Now,
iPod, status bar item.
And that's the iPod item, and that's the last status bar. Now, to get out of the status bar area, you do you just touch somewhere else on the screen. Like I'll touch kind of a little bit below that.
Voice memos.
And now we're back on the list of applications. And voice memos is where I ended up touching. All right, let's go into settings, and I will show you how you can change a couple of settings that you may want to change with regard to the iPod. One other thing, the volume control. If you want to change the volume specifically of VoiceOver, you'll want to press the volume buttons while it's talking. That will change VoiceOver volume specifically. If you press the volume keys at any other time, it will change the master volume. So that's kind of how that works. All right, let's go ahead and open up settings. I'll just go ahead and flick to the right to get there and move an item at a time here.
Clock. Count settings.
And there we are. So to open that, yeah, we double tap on the screen. All right. So let's go ahead and just do a flick right here. Generally, that's how I tend to move around, unless I know exactly where something is. The flick right and flick left are very handy to have when navigating. That's probably the most common gestures you're going to use here. And there is a way to practice the gestures, too, and have it tell you what they do, and I will show you that when we get to that spot in settings. So let's just go ahead and move to the right here.
Wi-Fi
Godfather. That's actually the name of my network. When I got my router, I couldn't think of what to call it, and I just kind of thought, well, let's see. I'm Italian, and the Godfather was Italian, and I remember somebody had actually been talking about that movie at work that day, so that's just what I ended up naming it. I wanted it to be something that somebody wasn't liable to guess, actually, which is a good thing to do for wireless security, actually. So, but if there's no Wi-Fi connected, then it will it'll just say Wi-Fi. But I'll go ahead and open this and show you what's here. So, double tap.
Wi-Fi.
Okay, now you'll notice the first, when you're in settings, the first item in every new window that opens takes you to the previous one. So we just opened a subcategory of settings. So settings is the first item, and that basically would take you back to the previous window. So let's just move to the right here and see what we have.
Wi-Fi networks. Wi-Fi. Switch. Button. On.
Okay. It's a switch button on. If you double tap that, it will turn off the Wi-Fi. You can think of switches on the iPod Touch or iPhone kind of like checkboxes. That's what they're very similar to, or you know, like radio buttons, but usually checkboxes because you toggle it on or off. So that's kind of how that works. Let's keep going to the right here.
Choose a network. Two wire 706 secure. Wi-Fi strength 33%.
Okay, that's another network that I'm not sure whose that is, but somebody else, I guess, around here.
More info button.
And that would give you more info about the network.
Godfather, secure.
That's mine.
Wi-Fi strength 100%. Selected. Joins the network.
And it tells you it's selected, which means it's already selected. That's the network that it's on. So, that's
secure.
That's kind of how that works.
33%.
So, what you would do is if it finds your network. Then you'll have to type in your passkey. Hopefully your wireless network is secured. It's a good thing to do. If you don't have your network set to broadcast, as I don't, that way you know, it'll be harder for a hacker to find you. You'll have to type it in, and typing is probably the most interesting thing to get used to on these devices, and I will show you that when we do a search on the web and a couple other places. So, let's go ahead and go back to settings, because I do want to show you some other things in here.
Godfather, secure.
Yeah, okay, that's my network. Let's go back to settings. I'm just looking to the left.
Wi-Fi settings.
And we'll double tap on settings.
Settings. Wi-Fi, brightness.
Okay, brightness. That is something you may want to go into. You'll probably want to turn down the brightness all the way to save battery power, especially if you really can't see the screen. So to do that, you double tap on it.
Brightness. So settings. Button.
And you're back on the, you start on the settings button, which again would take you back to the main settings window, but let's flick to the right.
Auto brightness.
Or actually, I think I bumped part of the screen. Let me go back to settings where you start out. Okay, now if you flick to the right.
Brightness.
Okay, and if we move one more, because that's the label.
0%. Adjustable. Swipe up to increase. Swipe down to decrease.
Okay, so on a slider, remember how I had mentioned that flicking up and flicking down reads an item either one character or one word at a time or moves by heading, you know, if you're in the web browser. Well, of course, there's really nothing to read on a slider. So in that case, when you flick up or flick down, it actually moves the slider in the appropriate direction. So if we flick up,
13%, 25%.
Now we're at 13.25. I want to take it back down to zero because no sense really in having this bright when I can't read the screen. I can see if the screen's lit up, but I can't read it. So
12%, 0%.
Okay, so we're back on 0%. All right, let's go back to settings again. Flick left here.
Brightness, settings.
Double tap.
Settings.
But as you're starting to see, you can totally use this without seeing it. It's a touch screen, but the way Apple's done this, you know, you can. It's definitely possible to do it. The main thing I would say, you know, if this is your first experience with something like that, take your time to get used to it. You know, it's not said that you have to learn it all in one day. Just take your time and take one thing at a time and go at your own pace. It's like anything else. You know, as you do it more, you'll get faster and more proficient with it. Okay, let's go ahead and move to the right here again.
Wi-Fi, brightness, general.
Okay, general definitely has some stuff of interest. Let's go ahead and double tap and go in there.
General, select settings, button.
All right, and let's go ahead and move to the right.
General, about, button.
About, that would just tell you the version and your serial number, that type of thing.
Wallpaper, button.
Wallpaper really doesn't do too much for the blind person. You can set, you know, what image is on this screen. Sounds is kind of interesting. Let's go in there for a second.
Sounds. So general. Button.
Double tap to open that. Okay, let's flick to the right.
Sounds. Sound volume. 73%. Adjustable.
Okay, that's another slider, and that's also controlled.
Swipe down 2 degrees.
Yeah, that's also controlled with you know, swiping up and down. You can actually adjust that, and that's also controlled by the side volume keys also.
New mail, switch, button, on.
And those are switches, you know, on or off for if you want to hear sounds for when you get new mail.
Send mail, switch, button, on. Calendar alerts, switch, button, off. Lock sounds, switch, button, on. Keyboard clicks. Switch. Button. On.
Yeah, you can turn that off, but I kind of like that because you can kind of tell when you're moving between items and that type of thing. So I think I'll leave that on, actually. But you can certainly turn that off if you want. Okay, let's go ahead and move back to settings here. I just wanted to show you what was in here with regard to sound. Let me see if I can, rather than flicking all the way back to the left, I wonder if I can just touch the left side of the screen and get back to it. Let's see.
Sound volume. Send mail. Lock sounds. General. Button.
There we go. Yeah, it's on the top left, so I don't have to flick all the way back to get back to the general category. Let's go ahead and double tap on that.
General.
And let's go ahead and keep moving to the right.
Wallpaper. Sounds. Network. Button.
Network. I think that's another way to actually get to the Wi-Fi stuff. Let me just check and see.
Network.
Double tap it.
General. Network.
Oh, that's for VPN, okay. Yeah, that's for if you want to connect to a virtual private network, like if you use it in a company and that type of thing. Let's go ahead and go back to general.
Network, general,
and we'll go ahead and
button, general,
move on here.
Sounds, button, network, Bluetooth, off.
Bluetooth is if you want to actually pair it with a Bluetooth headset. And you notice it says Bluetooth off there. So it does tell you the status if a button has a status. Okay, let's go ahead and keep going.
Location services,
okay.
Location services. Switch. Button. On.
Okay. On the iPhone, the iPhone has a GPS, and that would toggle that on and off. Now, on the iPod Touch, it doesn't actually have a GPS receiver. What it tries to do, I think, is based on your IP address or your Wi-Fi network, it tries to determine where you're at. I'm not exactly sure how accurate that ends up being, but in most applications you can specify your location either with a city or entering the zip code, so you can still do that. But the location services does attempt to determine that on the iPod Touch using your Wi-Fi network.
Auto lock, 1 minute, button.
Auto lock, you can set how long it is till the screen actually locks itself.
Password lock, off, button.
Yeah, if you want to set a passcode for your iPod, you can do that.
Restrictions, off.
Restrictions, you can set what applications run, and you know, without a passcode you can set some restrictions. I haven't set anything on that, really no reason to in my case, but it's available if you want to do that.
Home,
you can set some options. Well, actually let's go in there.
Home, select general, button, home. Double click the home button for.
You can set an option for double-clicking the home button, and that will perform some options. Here are your choices.
Home. Selected.
And I have it set to go to the home screen.
Search.
You can set it to bring up a search window where you can search for content on your iPod or iPhone.
iPod.
You can set it to open the iPod application.
iPod controls. iPod controls. Switch. Button. On.
And you can set iPod controls.
When playing music, show iPod controls. Search results. Button.
And search results. So those are some things you can toggle for the home option. All right, let's go back.
100% Wi-Fi home. Selected. iPod. Home.
Now, I was trying to find the button. Let's just go ahead and flick back to the left and we'll get it.
Home. General.
There we go. Double tap on general again. Okay.
Settings.
And let's keep going to the right.
Auto lock. Task restriction. Home. Date and time. Button.
Date and time. You can set the date and time, and if it's not already set, mine is. It does sync each time when you connect it to your computer, so you may not even have to do anything with that.
Keyboard. Button.
Keyboard. Let's go in there. There's a couple of interesting options.
Keyboard. So, general. Button.
Just double tapping on the screen to open that.
Keyboard. Auto correction. Auto correction. Switch. Button. Off.
Auto correction, you can set whether it tries to correct what you type. I've turned that off. I don't want it trying to automatically guess things that I'm typing and that type of thing. It can sometimes make things a little more confusing, I think. But it's up to you if you want that on, and it defaults to being on. You can leave it that way. If you want to turn it off, you just double tap it on the screen. Double tap the screen, and that'll uncheck that, essentially.
Auto capitalization
is the next one.
Auto capitalization. Switch. Button. Off.
And I've got that turned off as well at this point in time.
Enable caps lock. Enable caps lock. Switch. Button. Off.
Okay, and I've got my caps lock disabled, obviously, because you usually wouldn't want to have that enabled unless you want something in all caps.
Period shortcut. Double tapping the space bar will insert a period followed by a space. International keyboards. One. Button.
And you can set the international keyboards for entering characters in different languages and that type of thing. All right, let's go back to the previous window. Go back to the
general
button and double tap that. Okay, let's keep going here. International has something interesting because what some people do, actually, if they don't like this voice, it's using the Samantha. It uses the Nuance vocalizer speech for this. You can change it. If you change it to Australian, it'll use the Karen voice. It's using a Samantha at the moment. Or like UK English, it'll use, I think it's Serena is the voice that it's using there. And some people, even here in the US, prefer the Australian voice. I think, though, if you do that, it will also change how it displays, like, dates and that type of thing also. So it may reverse that, but you can certainly change that if you want to do that and experiment with that a little bit.
Accessibility.
There's definitely some interesting things in there. Let's go in there and take a look. Double tap the screen here.
Accessibility. General. Button.
All right. Let's take a look and see what we've got in here.
Accessibility. VoiceOver. On. Button.
Okay. VoiceOver on. Now, that's not the actual switch to turn it off. That's actually the VoiceOver, like, settings, as it were. So let's go ahead and double tap that and go in there.
VoiceOver. On. Accessibility. VoiceOver. Switch. Button. On.
Okay, that's the actual switch. If I was to double tap that, it would actually turn it off. Of course, I don't want to do that in this case. But we do have some other options in here, which I'll go ahead and show you.
VoiceOver speaks items on the screen. To select an item, touch it. To tap the selected item, double tap. To scroll. Flip three fingers.
And it gives you some hints there on the screen to get you started, which is good.
Practice voiceover gestures. Button.
Let's go ahead and select that. That's a nice feature. If you really want to get some practice, it'll describe the gestures for you without actually acting on them. So just double tap on that button.
Practice voiceover gestures in this area. Select the Done button in the top right corner and double tap to exit.
Okay, so now we are kind of in the equivalent on a computer of the keyboard help mode, as it were. So if I like flick to the right.
Flick right. Move to next item.
Flick left.
Flick left. Move to previous item.
Or double tap.
Double tap. Tap the selected item.
It says tap the selected item because a sighted person just, all I have to do is tap it once to activate it. If we flick down.
Flick down. Move to next item using rotor setting.
Move to next item using rotor setting. That's like character, word, that type of thing. If we flick up.
Flick up. Move to previous item using rotor setting.
And there are a couple of other gestures you can use here using two and three fingers. If you do a two-finger tap, I don't know if a single tap does anything or not. Let's see.
Touch. Select item under your finger.
Okay. So that's it. What if we do a two-finger double tap?
Flick, two-finger single tap. Pause or continue. Two-finger double tap. Start and stop the current action. For example, answers and hangs up a telephone call. Starts and stops playback of music and video. Starts and stops the stopwatch. Starts and stops video recording. Takes a picture and camera. Starts and stops voice memo recording.
Okay, so that starts and stops something. I think we can do a three-finger double tap also. Let's see.
Two-finger double tap. Three-finger triple tap.
Or let's see.
Toggle three-finger double tap. Toggle speech on and off.
So that mutes and unmutes speech. Now there is, I think, I wonder if there's a two, or a triple, a one-finger triple tap. Let's see. No, there isn't. Okay. How about a two-finger triple tap?
Touch. Select item under your finger.
No, there isn't. Okay. Now, there is a there is a three-finger double tap and triple tap, I think. Let's do a three-finger double tap.
Three-finger double tap. Toggle speech on and off.
Okay. What about the three-finger triple tap?
Three-finger triple tap. Toggle screen curtain on and off.
Yeah, that basically dims the screen. It takes everything off the screen so it's blank. There is also a two-finger swipe down and up, and a three-finger swipe down and up. So I'll show you those.
Two-finger flick down. Read page starting at selected item.
Yeah, that would be like the say all command, essentially, or read all. And flicking up will read from the starting point to where you're at. The three-finger flick up and down scrolls the page. You won't have to use those near as much as the other ones. The main ones, again, are the left and the right flick. The rotor. Let's go ahead and I'll let you hear the practice thing for that.
Rotate clockwise. Select next rotor setting.
Okay. So that's kind of how the practice thing works, and that's a good way to kind of really get familiar with the gestures and have it describe them for you. All right, let's go ahead and exit out of here. Let's find the done button. It's on the top right.
Touch. Select item on practice voiceover. Done. Selected. Button.
Done. And double tap it.
Done. Accessibility. Button.
All right, let's keep going to the right because there's a couple other settings.
Voiceover speaks items on this. Practice voiceover. Speak hits. Speak hits. Switch. Button. On.
Speak hits. That's like
setting.
The double tap to title setting, double tap to open. You may want to turn those off if you don't like them. It does pause there, and you don't have to wait for that to speak. If you know what you want to do, you can do that. I'm going to keep that on for now. I kind of like it still. But you can turn that off if you don't like that.
Speaking rate, 20%.
Speaking rate, that's a slider. You can flick up or down.
Swipe down to decrease.
Yep, so you can do that. So that'll change the rate.
Typing feedback, characters, button.
Typing feedback, it doesn't say that, but what this is kind of like the equivalent of radio buttons. You can do like characters. And you could toggle that by clicking on that and changing it. So, all right, so those are the voiceover settings for voiceover itself. Let's go back to the first item.
Accessibility button.
I just clicked it without flicking to the left all the way. I just touched the top left, and it was there, so double tap that.
Accessibility.
There's a couple other items in here I do want to show you in the accessibility area.
Voiceover. Zoom. Off. Button.
Zoom, that's, I think it... for, like, making the screen easier to see.
White on black. White on black. Switch.
White on black, that might help some people.
Mono audio.
Mono audio, that would be, like, for somebody that's hard of hearing.
Mono audio. Switch. Speak auto text. Speak auto text. Switch button off.
Okay, speak auto text. That, I think, is when it tries to fill in something for you. It's separate from voiceover. It will speak what it's filling in. I don't have that enabled because really you don't need it if you're using a voiceover.
Automatically speak auto corrections and auto capitalizations. Triple click home. Voiceover. Automatically speak auto corrections and auto capitalizations.
I'm actually going to turn that. I wonder if you can toggle that. Let's see.
Automatically speak auto corrections and auto capitalizations. Selected.
Okay, that's selected. No, I don't want to. Well, let's see.
Triple click home. Automatically speak auto corrections and auto capitalizations. Selected.
Yeah, I probably don't want that, so I'm going to toggle that back off again.
Automatically speak auto corrections and auto capitalizations. Selected.
Well, it. Oh, okay. That's. I see what that is. That's a label. That's just a label of the text. It's just a label, and then when we double tapped it, it selected it. That's what it did. It's not an option. Okay. All right. Let's keep going to the right.
Triple click home. Voiceover button.
Okay. What that is, that's a setting you may want to set for voiceover. What that does is it allows you to set, so if you press the home button 3 times in a row, it will toggle on and off voiceover. And you can set that for Zoom or voiceover, but for a blind person, if you're using voiceover, that's probably what you want to use. Set that for. Okay. That's the last item in accessibility. Let's go back to
General.
I just touched the top left of the screen. As you use it more, you'll become more familiar with where some of the things are, and then you can just touch that spot to move the voiceover cursor right to that item. So we'll double tap.
General.
Okay.
Settings.
Let's go ahead and move to the right. We're almost done with settings here.
Password lock. Home. Data. Keyboard. International. Access. Reset. Button.
Reset. I don't think I want to do that. Okay. Let's go back to the main settings.
Password lock.
See, this one, the settings isn't in the top left. I guess it's somewhere else. So let's just go ahead and flick back to the left to get to it. Back to it.
Settings. Button.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Double tap
settings. Settings.
Okay.
Brightness. General. Music. Button.
Okay. Music. That's some settings. Let's see what's in there.
Music. Select settings. Music. Shape to shuffle. Switch. Button. On.
Yeah.
Double tap to toggle.
So you can shake the iPod and it will actually shuffle your songs.
Sound check. Switch. Button. Off. EQ. Off.
Equalizer.
Volume limit. Off. Button.
You can set the volume limit, so.
Shake to shuffle. Music.
Okay.
Settings.
Let's go back to settings again.
Brightness. General. Music. Video. Button.
And video, I'm not going to spend too much time in that one.
Photos.
Store. I don't know what kind of settings are in there. Let's see.
Store. Select settings. Store. Account.
Okay, that's your account. You can set that.
N0oxy. Hack. Charter.
Yeah. N0oxy at charter.net, which, by the way, is my email address if any of you want to contact me.
View account. Button.
You can
sign out.
You can view the account, and normally you're always signed in. You can sign out if you want to, and that's all that's in there. So,
view account.
So,
store. Settings.
Go back to settings again here.
General. Video. Store. Mail.
Mail.
Calendars. Button.
Contacts. Calendars. I haven't set up my email account on this yet. I may do that at some point. I just haven't done it yet, but that is something I probably will do at some point.
Safari.
Safari, that's got some interesting settings for the web browser. Let's go ahead and open that.
Safari, settings, Safari, general, search engine, Google, button.
You can set what search engine you want to use.
Autofill, off, button.
Autofill, that's where it'll automatically try to fill in forms. I've got that turned off because I don't like it trying to autocomplete stuff. It kind of gets confusing.
Security, fraud warning.
Fraud warning is what it's saying there.
Fraud warning. Switch. Button. On.
It almost sounds like it's saying frog warning. Fraud is what it's saying.
Warn when visiting fraudulent websites.
Yeah.
JavaScript. Switch. Button. On.
So that's on. You can disable that if you want to, although a lot of websites won't work if you do that.
Plugins. Switch. Button. On. pop-ups.
Block pop-ups.
Block pop-ups. Switch. Button.
Off. I've actually got that off. I don't want it doing that. A lot of times it's better to turn that off because sometimes an important window will pop up and you may not see it if you have it set to block it.
Accept cookies from the databases. Button. Clear history.
And you can clear the history, the cache, that type of thing. So.
Security.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and let's go back to settings again. Double tap the screen. Okay. Let's go to the right. Oh, we got... Okay, these are settings for OOTunes, Wonder Radio. Those are some applications I've purchased, and if there are settings for them, those will show up in the settings area also. So that's kind of how that works. So that's how settings work. So once you're done there, there's really no exit option in these apps. Usually what you do is you just press the home button, and that will take you back to... that'll take you back to the home screen. So I'll do that now.
Home. Settings.
All right. So that's the settings, and hopefully I've shown you some things you may want to check to take a look at to maybe make your experience with the iPod Touch or iPhone a little bit better. Go ahead and show you a couple of other things here on this podcast. Let's go ahead and open up Safari, the web browser. Now, again, you can flick right to get there on the screen. I happen to know, though, that it's on the bottom someplace. So what I'm going to do is just touch the bottom of the screen to get my focus down there.
Videos. Double tap to App Store.
App Store.
Double tap to open.
Okay. Let's go to, I think it's to the left or right.
Safari.
There we are. Safari. Okay, let's double tap that.
Open.
Now comes kind of the fun part. Typing on the iPod Touch. Okay. One thing I'll tell you about surfing the web on this, if you're used to surfing on a desktop, it works for what it does, but you may find that you miss some of the features that you do have on desktop computers. For instance, you can move certainly by heading, you can move by item, by heading, by link, but there is no, like on the Mac, there's no item chooser, there's no way to search for text really on the page that I know of. So you are limited to the rotor, moving by heading, link, form field, that type of thing, or just an item at a time. That's kind of how it works. So let's go to a page. Let's see. How about Blind Cool Tech? That's where I'm planning on posting this. Let's go up there. So to do that, we need to get to the address bar. Now, sometimes this can be interesting because there's different areas of the web browser, and if you're focused on one of them, a lot of times... Yeah, my screen's locked. Okay, let me unlock that.
Unlock.
There we go. Okay.
Safari.
Sometimes you may have to just kind of touch around on the screen to get to the option. Let me just kind of feel around here and see.
Apple.
Okay, I'm in my bookmarks, I think.
History. Done. Selected.
Yeah, I am.
Apple. Google.
Okay.
Edit. Button. Edit.
Yeah, I need to get out of these bookmarks. Let's just go ahead and tap the done option.
iPhone. Edit. iPhone web applications. iPod Touch use Google. Yahoo. Apple. History. Done. Selected. Done.
Double tap that. Okay.
Landscape. Address.
Now, here's where this also gets interesting because the iPod Touch and iPhone have a sensor that determines whether you're in portrait or landscape. Now, if you're holding the iPod the way I described it to you, that's in portrait mode. Now, in some applications, Safari is one of them, if you turn it, it will automatically switch to landscape. And sometimes what can happen is it's sometimes overly sensitive. That's another thing I almost wish they would allow you to disable, is the sensor. Because sometimes it'll toggle on you when you don't really want it to or if you move it the slightest bit. Now, if you switch to landscape mode, then it's assuming you're holding the iPod or iPhone in a horizontal position. So then... the flick right and flick left, of course, would be opposite because, well, if you're holding it landscape, if you turn it to the left, then you would flick right and flick left that way in landscape mode. So I think I'm in landscape now, actually. Let me see. Turn this a little bit.
Portrait. Landscape. Address.
Okay. Now I'm in landscape. Okay. So let's go see if we can go to Blind Cool Tech. So... I'm not sure if I'm in the address field or not. Let me just try to double tap this.
Portrait. Address.
Well, okay, it keeps wanting to switch on me. I'm in landscape. Let me just...
Portrait. Landscape. Address.
Let me see if I can get to the address bar
Portrait.
Here.
Untitled. Untitled.
Okay. I think that's the...
Untitled. Slash.
Let me see.
Text field. Is editing.
Okay. There we go. Now what we've got, this should be the address bar, I think. Let's see.
Untitled. Text field. Google. Search. Q.
Okay. Or is that, let me see, I think that's that might be the search field.
Google. Search. Text field. Auto correction on. W. Q. W.
Okay.
E.
See, this is, okay. The keyboard is on screen now, so, and it's in landscape mode. Let me see,
W.
Okay. We have to turn it this way. I see. Okay. So the way you would turn it, if you want the keyboard in landscape to be the way you'd expect, is turn it so the volume keys are away from you, and the home key is on your left.
E-R.
So, but I still think I'm in the search field, not the address bar. Let me see if that's the case. Let me just flick all the way through this keyboard and see if I can...
Forward, utility, bookmark, tabs.
Okay.
A.
Okay.
P. O. I. U.
Let me go back to the left here.
Untitled.
Okay. I'm going to assume...
Text field. Is editing.
I'm going to assume that I am in the address field and not the Google search at this point. So let's go to blindcooltech.com. Now, the way you type on this, and this can take some getting used to, if you can... Use the landscape keyboard. It is a little bit bigger. You can do it with the portrait also. Either way works. But the way it works is you can touch a part of the screen, and that will, of course, move your voiceover cursor to that letter. But it doesn't insert it. To actually insert the letter, again, you double tap. Now, of course, if you're familiar with the QWERTY keyboard, you can... I'm just going to flick this
Google
so my
search.
Screen doesn't lock.
Text field. Auto-correction on.
See that?
Double tap to edit.
Okay, yeah, we are in the address bar because it says double tap to edit, so we're not in the Google search field. Okay. Okay, so I didn't want my screen to lock there. What we can do here is you can touch a part of the screen, and if you know, based on that letter, you can kind of determine where to move from that point then to get to the letter you want. And then when it speaks the letter, if that's the one you want, you just double tap somewhere on the screen. You can also, as you've noticed here, you can flick left and right to move through the QWERTY keyboard an item at a time. So let's say you land on maybe the M, and you don't really feel like, an N is what you wanted. You could just flick to the left one time and, get to the letter that way, too. So again, you can mix touch and flicking. So we want to go to blindcooltech.com. So what I'm going to do here is... kind of just touch around and try to find the B.
C.
Okay, that's the C. So we know we're on the right row, but we need to move just a little bit to the right.
B.
There we are. It says B, so let's double tap the screen.
B.
And that letter is now inserted. All right, now we need the L, so we need to move to the right a bit.
J.
Okay, J, let's just move a little more to the right.
K. L.
L, there it is. And double tap.
L.
To insert it. Okay, now the I... So we're going to have to move up a little bit.
I.
Oh, there it is. I landed right on it. Okay, double tap.
I.
Okay, N. So we know we're going to have to go to the lower part of the screen for that.
B.
Okay, a little bit more to the right.
B. Go.
No, we don't want go.
Slash. Slash. F. H.
Okay, I need to go one row down.
B.
Let's see. Okay, B. Okay, a little bit more to the right.
M.
Okay, there's the M. Now, rather than trying to touch that, I know that N, of course, is right to the left of that, so I'm just going to flick once to the left.
N.
There we go. Double tap.
N.
Okay. And the D?
Y.
Okay, we need to go down a little bit.
X. D.
Okay, D?
D.
There we are. All right, now we need the C. So let's, again, feel around on the bottom.
C.
Oh, there we go. Landed right on it. Okay.
C.
Double tap that. Okay. O, so we have to go back to the left.
N.
Okay, a little bit up, a little bit.
I.
And a little bit to the right should do it.
K.
And well, I have to go up a little more, too.
P.
There we go.
R.
Double tap that. Okay, and we need another O, so let's just double tap the screen again.
R.
There we go. Okay, L. Move a little to the right.
Delete.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay.
K. Delete. K.
Well, I got the K. Let's just flick once to the right.
L.
There we go. And
L.
Double tap that. Okay. The T. So that'll be on the upper row. So we'll go up a little bit on the screen and touch.
Y. T.
T. There we go.
T.
Okay. And then E. So we'll go a little to the left.
E.
There we are.
E.
Double tap. Okay. The C. So we have to move to the lower part of the screen. Okay, land right on that one.
C.
Double tap it, and H.
Y. G.
Okay, I landed on G. Let's just flick once to the right.
H.
Get the H, double tap it.
H.
All right, we need the... There is a .com on here, actually, that you can press, which will automatically insert that. Let me see if I can find that.
Slash. .com.
There it is. Okay, double tap that.
.com.
All right, now, let's read what we've written. Remember how I was saying the flick up and down reads it a character or a word at a time. If you're in an edit field, it reads it and moves your insertion point as it reads. So if I flick up here...
.com.
Okay, I need to move, set this to word.
Edit. Images. Visited links. Non-visited links.
Okay, I'm in the rotor, and it's got a lot more options now.
Static text. Edit.
Edit. That's what we want. Okay. So, let's see.
Select all. Select.
Well, let me,
Select all.
Well, I should be able to, let me get my focus back to that actual address bar. That's probably what I have to do. Let's see.
Slash. Period. C. Shift. L.
Let me flick back to the left. Okay, now I should be able to move this up and down. Let's see.
Select. Select all.
Well, let me double tap in the field again.
Copy.
Oh. Well, I don't want to do that. Let me get out of this.
Clear text.
No, I don't want to do that.
Attach.com.
Hopefully I have it.
Is editing.
Hopefully I have it written right, and we'll try it. Let's go down to the bottom right here.
Delete. 10:11 a.m.
Okay.
Status bar item.
Trying to get to the go button. Let's just there we go. Go. Okay, let's double tap that.
Go. Left gate. Web page loaded.
All right, let's see what we've got.
Address. www.11.charter.
It does appear that I did.
Search call equals
it does appear that I typed that wrong or made a typo somewhere. Okay. That's all right. We'll try another one. Let's just go to CNN. That's nice and short.
http://www.11.charter. Select all.
Yeah, let's do that, and then I should be able to delete this. Let's see.
Copy. Cut. Copy. Cut.
All I can do is cut it, okay.
Cannot find server button co-attach.
Yeah, I think I did. I think I did misspell that.
Clear text.
That's what I want.
Text field.
Okay, let's just go to CNN.com. That's nice and short. I'm not sure where I mistyped it at, but that's okay.
Text field is editing. Cannot find server group. Cancel button.
Okay. So I need to get back to the keyboard here. Let's see.
R.
There we go. Okay. So.
Cannot find server text field. Cannot find server cancel button.
I think I've got the QWERTY keyword.
Google,
yeah, I do. Okay. So what we want to do is go ahead and let's type in CNN.com.
B-M.com. C-C.
C, N, whoops, CNN.com.
Go.com.
All right, let's try that.
Go. Landscape. Loading. Web page loaded.
All right, let's see if that gives us better look.
Portrait. Back. Button. Landscape. Portrait. CNN.
There we go.
Landscape.
And this keeps wanting to... This sensor sometimes can get to you. It's they really should find do a way to disable that, but...
Select a section. Pop-up link. Image.
There we go. So now we can just flick to the right to read it an item at a time.
Image. Weather. Link. CNN. Link. Ick reload. Button.
And if you touch a part of the screen...
Select a updated 11 tech image. Co-pilot. No sleeping or arguing in cockpit. Link.
That sounds interesting.
The co-pilot of a Northwest Airlines flight that overshot the Minneapolis. Portrait. Address.
Oh, it just, see, changing, it, with it changing like that, it can kind of get annoying when it's always changing to portrait or landscape, so you may want to try to set this on a table or something like that. That co-pilot thing was interesting. Let's see if we can get more on that.
Select. Updated 11108. Select a section. Pop-up. Updated. Portrait. Image. Link. Landscape. Forward. Dim. Utility. Forward. Select a section. Pop. Updated. Image. Link. Co-pilot. No sleeping or arguing in cockpit. The co-pilot of a Northwest Airlines flight that overshot the Minneapolis airport by 150 miles says. Link.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea of how the web browser works. Typing can definitely take some getting used to on it. And, you know, so it's, you know, it's good. It does work. But if you're used to browsing on a computer, you might find it a little bit, you know, that it doesn't have all the functionality. But that's a brief demo of that. And I can do more of that, you know, if you're interested in seeing that. All right, let's go back to the home screen. I want to show you the App Store. That's the other thing I really want to show you on this and how you would install an app. What I'm going to do is go into the, well, let me show you a couple of the third-party apps I've gotten first. The Sirius Satellite Radio or Sirius XM Satellite Radio has an app that you can listen to the stations on the iPhone or iPod Touch. And it's actually very accessible. Just like, you know, on computers, some applications are more accessible than others. And I'll show you that application here briefly.
App Store.
So we're back. I pressed the home button to go back to the home screen. And that's actually on page 2, I believe, of my home screen. So
10,
what I need to do, well, let me unlock my screen. Okay. So what we want to do is go to page 2 of the home screen. To do that, let's go back to the left.
Videos, music, page 1 of 2.
Where it says page 1 of 2. Double tap that.
Page 1 of 2, Safari. Videos, music, Safari, App Store.
I think that's, let's see.
Music, page 2 of 2.
Yeah, page 2 of 2, okay.
Online
is what it's called, the Sirius XM app. So I'm going to double tap that.
Online, version 1.2.4. Downloading updated content lineup.
No, downloading updated content, okay. So this will take a second, but so this is a third-party application.
Downloading updated channel art.
Downloading updated. Okay, it's still downloading some things. I haven't used this in a couple of days, so probably needs to update the channel content and that type of thing.
Downloading. Updated. Channel. Art. Art.
Oh, art. Is that art, that word it's saying? Let's see.
Words. 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 Characters. Capital A. Capital R.
Yeah, art. Okay, downloading updated channel art. I guess the graphics or something like that. And it's still taking its own sweet time. I'll pause the recording until this download finishes. It should just take a minute, but I'll pause it. All right, we're back on the recording. The download's done. And now what we can do here is just move through this. You can just flick left or right. I'll flick to the right.
Where does my heart beat now? 90.
Okay, Celine Dion. Yeah, that's on Sirius XM Love.
Celine Dion. Categories.
There's the categories.
Pop. Rock.
Pop, rock.
Dance and electronic.
Dance and electronic.
Hip-hop, R&B. Country. Christian. Jazz. Classical. Latin and world. Sports. Entertainment. Family health. Comedy. News and public. Talk. Religion. Showcase. Category. Channels. Button. Favorites. Button. Shopping. Button.
Now, what I would probably almost prefer to do here...
Settings. Button.
Oh, there's a settings in here. Let's see what settings we've got. That's always fun.
Settings. Selected. Shopping. Favorite. Channel. Category. Showcase. Religion. Talk. News. Pop. Family. Enter. Sports. On-screen volume. Celine Dion. Where the Sirius XM Rock. Where... On-screen volume.
On-screen volume. Let's see.
Switch. Button. Off. Hide block channels. Switch.
Hide block
on.
Channels.
Double tap to toggle setting.
Well, I don't have any, but I'll toggle that off since I really don't
switch
have any.
Off. Quick tips and how to.
Quick tips and how to.
Frequently asked questions. Terms and conditions. Categories.
Oh,
button.
Frequently asked questions. Okay, so we could read that too if we wanted to.
Channels.
But button. I'm going to put it into channels mode instead of categories. I think I'd like that better, so just double tap it.
Channels. Selected.
And sometimes if it's a button or a, you know, it may just be some block of text and you're not sure if it can be, you know, activated or not. But if it's something you think maybe you could activate, you know, just double tap. Worst case is if it's not selectable, nothing bad will happen.
Favorites. Shopping.
All right.
Sirius XM. Pop. Celine Dion. Where the Sirius XM Rock. Button. Bar mobile app.
Okay.
Pop. Sirius XM hits one. Who's blue underscore 20 on 20. Blue underscore the blend. Blue underscore the blend. Rosanna. Total.
Okay, so that...
Blue underscore Sirius XM Love.
Okay.
Where does my heart beat now?
All right, so let's go ahead and play that channel, Sirius XM Love. So we'll just go ahead and double tap that.
Sirius
now,
XM
sometimes
Love.
The channel...
Where does my heart beat now? 90. Celine Dion.
We'll turn up the volume a little. And the sound quality's not bad. I mean, it's pretty good. Sometimes, though, I found the artist and the title doesn't always update. Oh, that's Cool in the Gang, Too Hot. Let's see if it updates. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, the title and artist of the song.
Blue underscore the blend. Blue underscore 20 on 20. Blue underscore Sirius XM hits one. Hot. Cool in the Gang.
There we go.
Too Hot.
Too Hot. Yep, so it updated. Okay, great. Okay, so that's that application. So that's a third-party app. We'll go ahead and exit out of here. Press the home key.
Home.
Okay.
Level tap to open.
All right, I'll go ahead and turn that volume down just a little bit so it doesn't distort the voice. Okay, so the App Store. I'll show you how you can actually search for and download an app. The app I'm going to get, it's a free one. It's by Aceratech, and it's called iBlink. And it basically allows you to see a bunch of podcasts and listings that are done by blind people. So let's go ahead and move to the App Store.
Page 2 of 2, Music, Video, Safari, App Store.
App Store, double tap it.
Double tap. App Store, back, button.
Okay, and what we want to do is get to the search.
Info, Battery Magic Pro, my new app, info, back, info.
Okay, the search, I think it's down on the bottom, let me just try touching that.
Search, button.
There you go, what do you know, I landed right on it, it's kind of at the bottom right. Okay, double tap that.
Search.
Okay, Sirius, that's what I searched for. That's what I searched for before to get to this application, the Sirius XM, you know, item. Let's go ahead and double tap to edit that field. Okay, so now, I don't know if I have to delete the text out of here or not. Let's see.
More numbers, search. More numbers, delete.
Let's see. Okay.
Delete. Empty list. Empty list.
Okay, empty list. So I assume here I can just type it. Okay, so iBlink. So let's find the I here.
H.
Okay.
K. I.
There we are. Double tap it.
I.
And down to the B.
Space. X. B.
There we go. Double tap that.
B.
Okay. L. I'm back in the portrait mode now, so I'm holding it the way I described originally, up and down. L, okay, so that's going to be on the middle, probably more to the right of the screen.
L.
L, there we go.
L.
Okay, I, so we'll move a little bit up from that.
L. P. L. U. Y. J. K.
Ah, okay, I'm on the K. I'll just flick to the right.
J. H.
Actually, I have to go up a little bit.
I.
There we go. Okay, I.
I.
Typing is probably the thing you have to get used to the most, but again, just take your time with it. It's not a typing race or anything like that. You know, just take as much time as you need to type on it. Where am I here?
Undo. Cancel. Button.
I don't know what I got into, but...
Undo typing. Button.
I must have touched something accidentally. Let's cancel out of whatever I was
cancel.
In.
Search. Seriously. Search.
Oh, okay, yeah, I do have to delete this out of here. There should be an option to clear the text out of here.
Search. Space. Search. Delete. Delete.
Let me see if I can...
L.
Let me just delete this out of here.
Delete.
Everything that I've got in here.
Delete. B. Delete. I.
Delete everything out of this box.
Delete. Delete.
Okay, I think I...
L. Delete.
Okay, now the box is definitely empty.
Alert.
Oh, this is giving me some kind of alert or something? Let's see. Let's see.
Capital U. Capital U.
Hmm.
Cancel. Button. Undo typing.
Oh.
Cancel. Cancel. Search. Search. Text field. Is edited.
Okay, so now I'm in a blank text field. Okay, so there was an undo there. That's what that was. Okay, so now let's type in I blink. So we go I.
B. Y. N. K. H. L. U.
Now if I can get to I.
I. U. I.
There we go.
I.
Okay, B.
Space. D. Z.
B.
B.
There we go.
B.
And we need the L.
K. Delete. L.
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 I.
J. J. L. I. I.
N.
B. N. M.
Okay.
M.
N is what I want.
N.
And the K.
J. M. K. K.
There we go. Okay, that should do it. Yeah, it's, and I'm not going to edit out any of what I've gone through here because, you know, I want you to see that, you know, some of the stuff, you know, you may encounter can get a little bit interesting, but, you know, it's, if you type something wrong or if you make a mistake, you know, you can always try it again. It's, don't let it intimidate you. It happens, especially when you're getting used to it. And, you know, you just go back and redo it. Okay, let's see what I've typed here. I should be able to read this now. Oh, I got a J in there I didn't want. Hold on.
I, B, L, J, I.
Yeah, that J needs to go.
I.
Okay, if I do delete.
L. Search. 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 Space. Search.
Where is the delete?
I. Search. Featured. Button. Categories. Feature. Search. Space. More. Number. Delete.
There we go.
Delete. I.
Well, okay, let's see.
N. K. K, N. J.
That J is what I need to remove, so...
J. Space. More. Delete. Delete. J.
There we go. Okay, now I think I need to put the I back in there, because I deleted that.
Y.
Let me see.
L. B. I. I. B. L. N. N.
Okay, so now I need to put an I in there.
I.
There we go.
I.
Okay, that should do it. Let me just double check what I've written now.
I. L. B. I.
Okay,
I.
B,
L,
L,
I, N, K.
That's it. Okay, so the search is in the bottom right, so let's just touch that.
Search.
There we go.
Auto-correction. Updates. Button.
Yeah, auto-correction. Okay. I got that turned off, so it shouldn't change anything, but let's see what we got here.
Search. Top 25. Cat feature. iTunes Store. I breathe fire. I blink. Search. I blink. Mechanism digital. $0.99. 3 stars. 19 reviews. I breathe fire. iTunes Store Terms and Condition. Featured. Button. Categories. Button.
Well, that's interesting. I think I'm spelling that right. I blink. Maybe I'm spelling it wrong. The Saratech app. I'll have to look into that. And maybe I'll do that on the next podcast. I'll install an app for you and show you how that works. But what essentially the way it works is you find it, you double tap it, and then you get the description. And then if you want to buy it or download it, you simply, there's a buy or download button, or if it's free, it just says free. And you double tap that, and it will ask you for your iTunes password. You'll have to type that in, and then it will download. And then it'll back it up next time you connect it to your computer also. So that's kind of how that works. So I think at this point I'm going to go ahead and conclude this show. It was kind of a long one, so I definitely appreciate those of you who have stuck around for the whole thing. much appreciated, and I hope you found it at least somewhat informative. And whether you already have an iPod or iPhone, or if you're just thinking about getting one, I hope you found it useful. I've certainly enjoyed doing this for you, and if you'd like to see more podcasts on this, and I am working on another Macintosh one also, so that will be coming also. But if you'd like to see more in the iPod series also, by all means, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And keep those emails coming. It's much appreciated, and it definitely makes it all worthwhile. My email address, if you want to contact me, is N0OXY, so it's N as in Nancy, 0OXY, at charter, charter, .net. So that's my email address, and if you want to contact me, certainly feel free to do so. Would love to hear from you. Until we talk again, take care, and happy iPodding.